Everybody, Pastor Buddy sitting in here with you late this afternoon in the Nashville listening area. WNQM, 1300 AM on your radio dial. Glad to have you aboard. We're going into a biblical subject tonight that we hope that you will find informative as well as educational. And we're going to talk about the holy sacraments, the necessities, if you will, on how to enter the door to the sheepfold. Remember, the Messiah came as the shepherd to the sheep and said and declared, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Now, by those three revelation keys, the way, the truth, and the life, and the light, we have a formula of entrance into the most holy place. Now, what if a man was to gain the whole world in the pursuit of the world? They that love the world, the love of the Father ain't in them. So you're never going to find the truth, the entrance, the keys, the formula by pursuing the world or loving the world or being a part of the world. Now, the Bible says that straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. Now, why did the Heavenly Father make it so difficult, if indeed it is difficult, and some people would think so? I think I could agree, because it's took me many painful years of constant pursuit after truth to actually find it. Now, the Bible also mentions the fact that we should search for the light, see and ask for the old path, in other words, and when we find it, walk in and we'll find rest for our soul. It's not as easy as just saying, find the path. There's many avenues, and the Broadway is the most politically correct, if not worldly correct, because we like to fit into the world. Nobody likes to be odd and different and peculiar and strange and cast aside and not wanted, not appreciated, and not loved. But most people, and I'm going to give you this revelation, most people that find the true narrow path become strange, separated from the world. They don't fit into the world system. They're not politically correct. They're not loved and appreciated. And the Bible says, in a sense, that you will be hated for his name's sake. Now, with all that said, there still is an entrance key. Now, in John chapter 3, verse 5, there is a question asked by Nicodemus. How can I be born again? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? Well, of course, we know that he missed the mark of his understanding. So then, the Messiah, this is his words in John 3 and 5, I say unto you, you must be born of the water and the Spirit. Now, we're going to take the water step as a gate entrance to key to the entrance process. It actually takes two keys to enter the kingdom, water and spirit. Now, why would the foolishness of water? Well, it's a gospel of revelation. People say it's symbolic, but that, you know, that's not what the Bible says. Most people try to spiritualize it, and that's not what the Bible said. You see, when John came in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." Now, if water, baptism, and that's exactly what John was using, pure, 100% water for repentance. Well, then let's say that if water baptism is for repentance and you're not water baptized, would you find repentance? Well, now that's a $64 question. If the Father has set certain codes into the lock to the door. And remember, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I'll come in and sup with him." Now, what does that mean? Well, the Bible said in John 4:24 that God is a spirit and seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. So, most people want spirit, but they don't want no truth to go with it, because truth brings hardship, separation, and the things that I just mentioned above. Well, it's a hard saying. It's not a world way. It certainly, most certainly, is not a seem right way. It is the correct true way, and the correct true way is frowned upon, although most churches do water baptize. But the formula of how they baptize is the question that we'll discuss in preparation for entrance to the kingdom of heaven. "I indeed baptize you," Matthew 3:11. John said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." What does that mean? That John brought the water baptism, and after John's baptism, and after the dispensation of John's gospel was superseded by the gospel of the Messiah, did the Messiah himself quit baptizing? Well, that's an interesting question, Pastor Buddy. Let's find out what the Bible says. Well, if we look in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 21, we find that the Messiah was in the area along with John, and his disciple was in a different area. Both of them were preaching water baptism for the remission of sins. Now, you say, "Well, Pastor Buddy, I didn't know that the Messiah baptized people. I just understood that John himself baptized the Messiah." Well, very few people know that the Messiah baptized John. You remember what John said when the Messiah came to him for water baptism? They were in the Jordan River. And John said, "Why are you coming to me? I need to be baptized of you." Well, what did the Messiah say to him? "Suffer it to be so for now." Was there a later time that the Messiah would accept John and his disciples, the ones that he had baptized, into his ministry? The answer to that is yes. I repeat, the answer to that is yes. By the purpose and the very intention of why that the Father gave us the a formulation for entrance. Well, let's go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, and see if we can find a scripture that would indicate that you can make good choices, correct choices, entrance choices, gate or key choices, and in some cases, you can make bad choices. Failure to obey that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. We're going to start in Luke. We're going back to John just in a moment. We're going to drop over to Luke, and we're going to start at the 28th verse. For I say unto you, among those that were born of women, listen to this honor that the Messiah himself gave John the Baptist. There is not a greater prophet that ever existed than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, what did he mean by that? At this particular time, John was still preaching the gospel of repentance through water baptism. And all the people that heard the Messiah speak of John the Baptist, and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. That's what the Messiah said. Now listen to what he said. And all the people that heard him and the publicans, in other words, the people that heard John's message of heaven entrance, the door, the preparation, justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But, listen to what the Messiah said. This is the revelation that you need to get. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Now, isn't that revelating? The publicans, along with the people, the common people, justified God being baptized, but the Pharisees, those who thought they were better, those that didn't invent that doctrine, those that didn't come up with that, those that were steeped in their traditional man-made ways, although it was Moses's, they were Moses's disciples. But here is a change in covenant that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were reluctant to accept, and they rejected the counsel of God. God's counsel through John the prophet was to repent and be water baptized, saying unto the people that they should believe on, not John, but on the one that was to come after John. And those that accepted that as a truth were water baptized into repentance, professing their faith that there was coming a Messiah to save them. Not John, but a future. At this time, they didn't know that he was present. Even John didn't know him. But those that obeyed the counsel of God versus those that rejected the counsel of God. Now, if God gives you an instruction and you accept it, there's a reward. If God gives you instruction and you reject it, then there is a punishment. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve good and evil. And the Bible said, I'll give the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire, to them that obey me. Well, what was the command? Water as the preparation for repentance. In other words, to give you remission of sins. Now, if you're not water baptized according to Scriptures, you cannot be justified to go to heaven in your sins. Although you may claim a certain gift, or you may be claiming a certain membership. But if you're not properly water baptized in the formula of heaven. I'm going to give you the formula before we're through. What name that releases the power of the Holy Spirit of revelation into your very being? Now, he that believeth on me, as the Scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is revelation of truth. Remember, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in a spirit and in truth. Now, going back to John, who we were reading about, we're going to start here at the 29th verse. Well, let's just go to the 27th verse. Well, for the sake of setting this up for your understanding where we're coming from, let me start the 26th verse. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, that means teacher, he that was with you beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness. Now here's the revelation of what the common people are saying. Listen to it. Behold, the same man, talking about Christ, baptizes, and all men are going to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Meaning that the counsel of God in heaven was that men ought to be baptized. Well, you know, most people rejected John's baptism. But here's a new covenant baptism. Water baptism? Now, we're talking about water. Listen, he's beyond Jordan to whom thou bearest witness. Behold, the same baptizeth, water baptizing, and all men are coming to him. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Now, the word Christ means simply in the Aramaic, the anointed. I am not the chosen anointed one, is what John is saying. But I am a witness. I am a forerunner, according to Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 3. Prepare, John's mission was to prepare a road in the desert, a highway for God. Well, he came preaching before the advent of God, who bodily entombed himself in a body of flesh. God was incarnated, literally, into a body of flesh, called himself the Son of God, because he was the offspring of the Spirit in flesh form, and walked among men. And he preached this revelation. But he that has the bride is the bridegroom. So the bride was the children of Israel, the purpose and the very election of those who were to receive the salvational key message of repentance and remission of sin. Well, today they still reject the truth of the revelation keys of water baptism for the remission of sin. And they think they can get there in their sins. You'll do well to get there out of them, let alone in them. Now listen to this. He must increase, talking about the Messiah's ministry, but I must decrease. That means that the dispensation of John's gospel of revelation, that they should believe on him who should come after him. Well, find that example here as we read. Now, let's go to John 4. And when therefore the Messiah, the Lord here, Yahweh, in a flesh body, Yahushua, knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Have you ever read that in the Bible? That Christ was preaching water baptism also for the remission of sins, and that his message superseded John's message. That John was going to decrease, but the message of revelation of water baptism for the remission of sins by the Messiah and his disciples would increase. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Now, what does that mean? That means that there must have been a convicted confession before the Messiah would accept the people that came to him, that they had to confess that he was the Messiah, and by confession of their faith and the acknowledgement of who he was. Remember, the Pharisees wouldn't accept John's or Christ's water baptism. They rejected the counsel of God. This came from heaven. John said, no man can bring a revelation except he comes from heaven. This heavenly revelation of water baptism has come from heaven. God Almighty Himself, the author and the finisher of our faith, has forecast that we must have water baptism for the remission of sins. Now, it's very important for you to know the rest of that form, because, you see, it's just not no haphazardly thing that you go out and get water baptized and saying, well, I obey that. There's a formula for water baptism, and many people have misinterpreted or used the wrong key source to fit into the lock. Now, listen, you must prove all things. You must examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. You must press toward the mark and a high calling, and you must continue on in the faith. Well, we're going to give you the formulation, the true name, the proper name, a name that has been rejected to a name that's accepted, and the difference between the two, the formulation, the deception of formulation of water baptism. Now, let me repeat that for you. The deception of the world as they formulate a false way to be water baptized to get into the church or the kingdom of heaven, which is the same thing. If you belong to the body of the Messiah, you belong to the church, and if you belong to the church, you belong to the ecclesia, and if you belong to the ecclesia, you belong to the kingdom of heaven, and if you belong to the kingdom of heaven, you belong to God, and if you belong to God, you've got God's name through repentance and water baptism in your forehead. It's that simple. Revelations 14:1. We'll get there after a while. And he left Judah and departed into again in Galilee. Now, I want you to notice the scripture of Revelation that when John heard that the Messiah was in Enon, here it is, and I'm going to start at verse 22. 21 is the one I gave you. Verse 22, after these things came the Messiah, Yahushua, known as Jesus in the King James, and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Verse 23. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. You catch that? When John and his disciples heard that the Messiah, Yahushua, Jesus, was nearby baptizing, then John and his disciples left their baptismal method and came to the Messiah himself for baptism. Amazing. Have you ever heard that revelation? Have you ever saw that in your Bible? You've always heard that John baptized Jesus, but have you ever heard that Jesus baptized John and his disciples? You see, if it was necessary for the Messiah, Christ, to be baptized of John, it was even more certainly necessary for John and his disciples to be baptized of the Messiah. Are you following? Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I don't know about that. Well, let's go. We'll show you in the book of Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts, and we're going up to the 19th. Let's go to the 18th chapter here. And we're going to read a very interesting a scripture here. And a certain Judean named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Well, what's wrong with that? John came preaching what, a baptism for the remission of sin? This man was fervent in the spirit and mighty in the scriptures. What was wrong with it? He only knew of one baptism. He had never heard of the Messiah, the Hamashiach in a Hebrew. He'd never heard of his baptism. And he began to speak boldly in the church, the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla, disciples of Yahweh, Paul had baptized, had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him, in other words, explained to him the other covenant key to the door, the way of God more perfectly. They gave him the revelation of baptism in the name of the Messiah, not the baptism of repentance to John. That's all that Apollos knew. He was fervent in spirit, meaning he had the spirit. It was working mightily. But he only knew the revelation of John's baptism. He did not have the other baptism revelation that John and his disciples got in the third chapter of the book of John when they themselves left off baptizing and came to the Messiah for baptism. Amazing. Revelations of important key factors, and these are faith igniters to turn you from the way that seems right into the way that is right. Again, they expounded unto him, Priscilla and Aquila, the way of God more perfectly. The way of God. Now, God's got his ways, the world's got their ways, and you might have your ways. Your ways are not God's ways, and God's ways certainly are not your ways. As heaven is higher than earth, so are God's ways higher than yours. So then, there must be another step in the process of the door and the opening of that door. There must be a key insert. And remember, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18, the Bible says, let me give you the scripture here, the Messiah, who had tested Peter severely, told him that he must receive the keys unto the kingdom. Now, what was the kingdom principle for? Well, let's read here. In the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, we're going to begin at the 18th verse. And I say unto you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Remember, the church has got a door, and a door has got a key, or a lock, and you must have the key to enter, or you must open to him that knocketh from within. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the false ways, shall not prevail against it. And I give unto you the keys. These are keys. Why would they be two keys to this principle? Because there are two houses to enter the two doors. One is the house of Judah, and the other is the house of Israel. You say, well, I thought that Israel and Judah was the same house. No, they're two different houses. They were split and divided. One key is for the house of Judah, and the other key is for the 10 northern tribes separated and called Israel into the earth. You may be an Israelite and not even know it. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever that you shall bind on earth. Listen to this now. Whatever you shall bind. Now, how does the binding process, how does it come forth? Everyone that will not receive the key of knowledge. Remember, the Pharisees wouldn't receive it. They shut up the kingdom of heaven against themselves. Against themselves, being not water baptized. Are you going to make that same mistake? You say, well, Pastor, but I ain't got nothing to worry about. I've done being baptized. How was you baptized? Well, that's an interesting story. Let's go back to where we were at in the book of Acts, chapter 19. And we're going to begin at verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos, this one that we just read in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, that only knew about the revelation of John's baptism, water baptism, then he was introduced to the baptism of the name of Yahweh, the correct way to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now that he's got this revelation, he was still at Corinth, and Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost? Remember John 3 and 5, you must be born of water and the Spirit. Since you believed, he found certain disciples. And he asked them if they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Nobody's preached to us about the Holy Ghost. Listen to what Paul said. And he said unto them, what then, or how, were you baptized? Isn't that interesting? See, this revelation key is so simple that a few there be that find it. Everybody looks for a complicated mathematical or formula, and when it's a simple plan for simple man, and don't become like the Pharisees, reject the counsel of God against yourself. You must put on the whole armor. That means the whole truth. How were you baptized? And they said unto Paul, unto John's baptism. Now remember, John came preaching the baptism of water for the remission, saying unto the people, they should believe on him that cometh after them. After him. Then remember John and his disciples in the third chapter of the book of John, chapter 21 and 22 and 23. They came and were baptized. And when the disciples and the people knew that Yahweh Shua had baptized more disciples than John, they brought up a question about purifying. Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. The way to get your sins remitted and washed away is through water baptism in the divine covenant name of Yahweh. That's the only way. That's the key to the revelation of the door to the entrance, and this is the plan that the devil has denied, overlooked, and turned away from. But if you will walk in, you might find rest for your soul. They said unto Paul, then Paul said unto the disciples, after they said, we were baptized into John, then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that cometh after him, that is, on the Messiah. Here it says Christ Jesus in the King James. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, we know that Jesus is a Greek-Latin name, and it can't be proper. He's only got one name, and it wasn't Greek-Latin. You say, well, it doesn't matter. It means the same thing. Oh, no, there is a difference. Remember, if another comes in his own name, people will receive them. But he came in the Father's name, John 5:43, and nobody would receive him in that name because they wanted to change it and use an alternative or another way. And this is just another mild form, severe form, if you really look at it, of deception. We're going to show you those formulas of deception, how that it seems right, but it's a long way from being right. And here, and when Paul had baptized them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then Paul laid his hands upon them. The Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. In other words, they had a new testimony, just like Apollos got his new testimony of how the way of God was explained to him more perfectly. Amazing. Now, let's go back to Matthew, the book of Matthew, one more time as we read in the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter. We're going to begin at the 18th verse. And when the Messiah, Yahushua, came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach. Teach is a process of learning, an evolutionary. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. This is the most preferred formula for baptism in the Christian world. And yet it's false. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, how could it be false when we're obeying what it said to do? Most ministers, when they go out into the water, they use this formula for water baptism for the remission of sin. But remember, I said, if you're not using the name, you're deceiving. If the name is not applied to the sins, and the sins must be redeemed through the blood, and the blood is redeemed through the name that the blood was shed in. Therefore, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby that you can be saved. And yet they won't use it in the formulation that the Father said. It's very simple. What's the Father's name? He didn't say use the term Father, although it said to baptize in the name of the Father. Well, he didn't say use Father as the name of God. He didn't say use Son as the name of God. And he certainly didn't say use the Holy Ghost as the name of God. Although God is a Spirit, and although there is a Father, and although there is a Son, but they have the same name. Oh my. In that day, Malachi chapter 4 says, in that day there shall be one. Zechariah 14 and 9 says the same thing. In that day there shall be one, and his name one. Acts 4:11 and 12, I just quoted you, there's salvation in no other name. So you cannot be salvationally discharged of your sins through a title. Father is a title, Son is a title, and Holy Ghost is a title. And if some preacher puts you down saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and never use the divine covenant name to blot out your sins, then you're still in your sins. It's that simple. You see, the Bible says that evil men will creep in unaware and deceive the very elect. Well, how could they do that? By being deceived themselves. The Bible said, deceived and being deceived. So the deceived are being deceived by those that deceive, by them that deceive them. In other words, carrying on the family tradition or the tradition of the world, the seem right way, the things that are appropriated and the things that are most common among Christian faith today is the repentance of the formulation of water baptism saying Father, Son, Holy Ghost when it's all in error. Oh, yeah, people mean good. There's people going to be in hell that meant good. There's going to be people in hell that say, Father, didn't we do wonderful works when we said, Lord? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You can say, Lord, Lord, and do many wonderful works and still miss the mark. And that's what sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law or miss the mark. But remember, Peter had the keys to the kingdom, and he said, upon this stone, I'll build my church, and I give you the keys, and whatever you bind in heaven, and whatever you loose in heaven. So it's a principle of obedience to the proper formula of water baptism for the remission of sins. In this case, Matthew 28:19, repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, or go forth and teach the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Not names, but name. meaning that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost had one name. And if you don't use that name, as it's stated in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And we're going to go there and read just exactly, and I'll show you another form of deception. If the devil don't get you in the right hand, he can get you in the left hand. But I'm going to go to Acts chapter 2 or chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Let's go there just for a moment and see what Peter's message of salvational key revelation that he gave to the people that asked this question. Very important question now. In verse 37, let me read it to you. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, the man that had the keys, remember, and to the rest of the apostles, witnesses, men and brethren, what shall we do? Very important. This is the most important question in the Bible. And yet people get a deceptive, seem right answer from most of the clergy that have not studied, been approved, or sought the truth of the right way. Just like Apollos, he was mighty in the scriptures. That didn't mean he was saved. That we know he was fervent in the spirit. He was very zealfully preaching, but knowing only a formulation that wouldn't get the job done. Ladies and gentlemen, you must have the proper key for the lock. And the revelation of that key is the opening. And if you do not have the knowledge, you're destroyed for the lack of it. For he said in Hosea 4 and 6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Since you reject knowledge, I'll reject you. And this is the knowledge of truth. And yet people will reject it. They'll just turn off the radio later on, or probably have already done so in some instances. But I encourage you to continue to seek, to pray, and to ask, to seek and find the opath. What shall we do? Listen to what Peter said. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Lord. Well, remember the formula in Matthew 28:19 was to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, what's the difference here? Well, Peter was using the very formula of Matthew 28:19. He wasn't denying that formula because he was using the name of the Father. Well, now let's turn to the scriptures of Revelation and find out if the name of the Father is Jesus. And the answer to that is an astounding no. God has got a name, the Father. This is a name that is mentioned in the Hebrew text. Now, you must have a Hebrew text Bible to find out what the Father's name is. The Father's name is not Jehovah, as we've been told. It's a lie. Although the King James uses the name for God in the Old Testament seven times, Jehovah, we know through reading and studying that it is an erroneous rendering of the sacred four letters of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. When we say Hallelujah, we don't say Hallelujah. We don't say Praise You, Jah. We say Praise You, Yah. The highest mountain chain is the Himalaya, not the Himalaya. The highest tree that honors the Creator is the Sequoia, not the Sequoia. So then Jehovah is not the proper name, although it's in the revised version of the King James. But it's incorrect. So then you better make your election and your calling sure that if you want the truth, you must know the truth, and the truth must set you free. You got to be set free from the shackles of sin, ignorance, fear, superstition, and tradition of the world. Because Christ said himself, they will, in the days, turn away from me, wax cold, to keep their own tradition. They'll deny my commandment. What is a commandment? To be water baptized in the name of Yahweh. John 1:31. And I knew him not, John said, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water. John 1:31. To manifest the Messiah, there had to be a water entrance to the kingdom through John's baptism, and then superseded by the Messiah's water baptism, same cleansing agent, and the formula that God used and suggested, and the Pharisees and the unbelievers rejected, or they tried to climb up some other way, or they tried to change the formula by the deceptive misinterpretation of Matthew 28:19, most of the Christian world has been deceived by using the formulation of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in place of the true name. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, you were saying that Jesus is not the Father's name. Then do we use the name of Jesus like Peter suggested here in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38? That's another misinterpretation. His name was never Jesus. That's a Greek Latin. And in Spanish, we don't say Jesus, we say Jesus. Well, that's exactly what the name means, formulated by those who sought to deceive the very elect by bringing in another name. And all the world will wonder after this name, and it'll be a name of blasphemy, but it'll be a name that the world trusts in, but it'll be false. Ladies and gentlemen, I just gave you one of the greatest end-time revelations that you'll ever receive if you're man or woman enough to receive it. If not, then you'll go on your merry way in denial, and then you will find that this great mystery will be finished in the end time when you stand before the divine appropriated creator who only has one name. His name was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change. And the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the same name. John 5:43, St. John chapter 5, verse 43, the Son said himself, I am come in my Father's name. In John 17:6, the disciples were given the manifestation of the Father's name. They'd already forgot it. In the time that Christ come, the apostles, these little fishermen, had forgotten the name of Yahweh because they had been taught by the priesthood of Baal, these false Pharisaical, who said that the name of Yahweh was too holy and sacred to pronounce, caused the disciples or the believers or the receivers to forget his name for Baal. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 25, 26, and 27. Oh my. What deception. What power that Satan has to deceive the very elect. Now let's go down to the 8th chapter quickly, as I'm running out of time in this formulation, reconstruction of your faith, that you might know the whole truth and then have time for the decision to be made which formula you will use. Or you're going to come like the Pharisee, pat yourself on the back and say you've done no wrong and you're in a way and you love everybody and so God must love you. Ladies and gentlemen, chapter 8, and we're going to begin at verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of the Messiah, they were baptized, both men and women. See, when the gospel is preached in revelated true form, and the true name is brought to you, then you will repent and be baptized in the correct name. Although you see, the people that had been baptized under John had to be baptized again. John and his disciples had to be baptized again in the correct formula, in the name of the true Messiah. The Messiah's name was not Jesus. It wasn't Lord. It wasn't God. There's many lords and there's many gods and there's many Jesuses running around, particularly now in this country. Don't make that name above every name. The name that's above every name is a name that's kept secret from the foundation of the world and only revealed to them that knows the formulation covenant and the key to the kingdom. Search the scripture for wherein you think you have eternal life. You ain't got none. Oh, what a great revelation. What a time that we live in. Such deception. Such time of trouble. Such a perplexity with tradition replacing truth. The time will come that men will not endure sound doctrine. But as John 30:7-38, I quoted, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture says, said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." If you want the living water, you must repent and be water baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins. You see, Yahweh the Father, Yahweh the Son, and Yahweh the Holy Ghost. That's the divine covenant name. We'll say, "Pastor, well, I never heard of that name, and my God, you know, I've been saved a long time." Really? Ladies and gentlemen, it's never too late to turn from your ignorant ways and receive the revelation of truth. Well, I see that my time has all but gone. I'd like to give you one more verse of Scripture or two before we close this message out. And next Sunday afternoon, here on WNQM 1300 AM on your radio dial, I want to give you the revelation of the name. Prove to you beyond a shadow of doubt that 5,823 times, wherever you see the capitalization of the word Lord, L-O-R-D, it was a replacement for YHWH in the sacred Hebrew letters. It's called the Tetragrammaton in Greek, the four sacred letters. In the Septuagint, the name of Yahweh was in the Bible. In your Hebrew Bible, get your Hebrew Bible and see what the Father's name. You say, "I can't speak Hebrew." Well, it's got an English interpretation. You see, Mr. Gorbachev in Russia, when he comes to America, we still say Gorbachev. See, his name is not translated and changed. It's transliterated with the sound coming forth out of the revelation. Names are not translated or changed in sound. They're transliterated sound for sound through all languages of the earth. This is a unique feature of revelation, that God and his holy name, Yahweh, would be taken out of the Scriptures, translated out by the translators. You say, "Pastor, but they wouldn't dare do that." The Bible said, "Evil men shall creep in and shall not spare the flock, but will wreak havoc." And the best way to do that is change the love letter that God has written. "And woe unto them that change one word of the original Scriptures to set up their tradition, or just because they're not Hebrews." And that's what most of them say, "Well, I ain't a Hebrew, so therefore I'm not required to speak a name of God." Oh, yes, you are. Just like you would be despite if Mr. Bush went to Russia, they wouldn't call him Hushapon. They would call him Mr. Bush. His name would be George W. Bush. And it would come out in the Russian language, and you would understand exactly. You wouldn't understand anything in the Russian context of translated words, but you would know through transliteration that he just spoke the name of George W. Bush. Because they're transliterated. And what did deceivers, what did I say? The translators, not the translators, but the translators, would think to change God's word to deceive the very elect. It's not going to be so if you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, I got to get off here. Now, you can write me. This is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening to The Shepherd's Call on 1300 AM WNQM on your AM station. 50,000 watts of pure power coming right out of Nashville, Tennessee. You can write me at Post Office Box 2284. If you're listening in the area, I'd be glad to hear from you. I will respond in kind. That's Post Office Box 2284. That's Pastor Buddy. It's all you'll need. Just address your letters and cards to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, that's N-E-W-T-A-Z-E, W-E-L-L, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. Now I'm live. This is the 23rd of April. We're moving right along in time. This is Sunday afternoon, and I hope where you are, you fare well. I hope that you've enjoyed the content of the message. I hope it's revelated a revelation for you, and I hope your heart's been changed. If that's true, you need to call me. Area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Being live, I'll be live on WWCR around the world on the Jewel of the South in shortwave, the Cadillac of the industry, ladies and gentlemen, on the gem, the diamond in the rough, out of Nashville, Tennessee, at 7 Central Time. Pastor Buddy will be live transmitting on WWCR 5070. You don't want to miss tonight's episode of Part 4 of the Harmonic Cycles. We're in the end time, ladies and gentlemen, and we got to get with the cycles of Revelation. Times are perilous. Evil men waxing worse and worse, so we got to come up to speed with a revelation of the truth. Now, if you've heard the truth and you believe that Pastor Buddy has been in the Scriptures through revelation, you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. I'm live on WNQM 1300 AM on your radio dial, 50,000 watts out of Nashville, Tennessee. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can call me or write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, with a zip code being 37824. So then, if you are listening to us live tonight, you'd like to call me. That's Pastor Buddy, just a Tennessee born and bred plowboy. At the old plowman, Mr. Eddie Arnold, used to sing back in the 50s. We're still here doing our thing. Well, folks, we've got to get off here. We want to see you tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central on WWCR. Join us live.
Let all the hearts be now united. Two arms, and Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie. Hurrah, hurrah. For Dixie's land, we take our stand and wave our flag for Dixie.